Going to look at a statement made here in Romans chapter 12 as we begin our lesson in just a couple of minutes. It is wonderful to see everyone present, and I concur with what Billy said. We're especially happy for our visitors, but I want to say that I'm happy to see those of us who worship here regularly. If we were not here, we wouldn't be able to have a church that meets here. And I appreciate so very much all who have come this morning. As we study this morning, I would ask that you do like we do always, and that is listen carefully to what is taught, consider what is taught in light of God's Word, and understand that each of us has a responsibility to be obedient to God, and that one day we will stand before God and we will give an account based on what His Word teaches and our obedience to it. And certainly we want to be ready when that time comes. Let me just read the first two verses of Romans 12 again, where the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes and says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Some translations say, which is your spiritual service. Verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I have underlined in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." When I consider the fact that the Apostle Paul gave that warning in the first century, there was a problem there of being conformed to the world. And certainly that problem has existed throughout mankind's history. And today, the problem exists of us being conformed to the world. That is, being like the world. And what Paul says is don't do that, but rather be transformed. That is, change. The idea of a metamorphosis coming over us. By the renewing of your mind. And what our goal is to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to be acceptable to God. And really that's what matters. That's all that matters ultimately, is that we are acceptable with God. A couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, we studied the lesson that dealt with our attitudes toward the Word of God. And we noticed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the correct attitude that we should have when we look at God's Word. The Thessalonians, Paul says this concerning them. Chapter 2, verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." As we open our Bibles, we are looking at the Word of God, and that's how we want to accept it. It's not something written by man, but it's God's Word. It is truth. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at wrong measuring standards. And we just tried to point out that we are not the standard to measure ourselves, nor are others, nor is standing practice, nor is peace, nor is sentimentalism. But the fact is, God's Word is the only correct measuring standard. Now, with those thoughts in mind, what I want to do this morning is to begin talking about dressing to please God. That is, the attire that we wear, the clothing that we wear. That what we're concerned about as we dress today is pleasing to God. Not man, not any other, but to God. And I might just say this in the beginning, that in conversations with the elders, I met with the elders, or they met and they asked me to meet with them. And one of the things that was discussed was that I have some lessons along this line. And I appreciate that. I had been planning something along this line, and really it's been too long since I've had any public teaching concerning this. But this morning, as we look at dressing to please God, I want to emphasize that we're trying to please God. Now, let me just make several observations and statements as we begin our study. The first thing is, God has always cared about what man wears. It has been so from the beginning of mankind. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 7, after Adam and Eve sinned, verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." After Adam and Eve sinned, they recognized their nakedness. And in an attempt to cover themselves, the Bible says they sewed fig leaves together. When you look at verse 21 of that same chapter, the Bible says, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." And so Adam and Eve, they made aprons to clothe themselves. And then God, He makes them tunics, some translations say coats of skin, and clothe them. We'll come back and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But I just want us to understand and to see that God has always been concerned about how man dresses. I do want to mention back in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 25, before Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so before the sin of Adam and Eve, they were naked, but they were not ashamed. Once they had eaten of the fruit that they had been forbidden to eat, they realized that they were naked. And they attempted to clothe themselves with fig leaves, made aprons. But God clothed them with tunics or coats of skin. Not only has God cared about the way man dressed in the very beginning of time, God cared about how man would dress under the law. And I'm speaking about under the law of Moses. I'll just read a couple of verses concerning garments for priests in Exodus chapter 28, verse 42. The Bible says, as instructions are given to the priest as to the clothing they are to wear, "And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from the waist to the thighs." And so the priests were given, or instructions were given, that the priest were to have on trousers, linen trousers, and what it was to cover was their nakedness, but notice, from the waist to the thighs. And we'll talk more about that in just a little while. Not only that, but just dress in general under the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, the Bible says, "A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." And again, just simply showing that God has been concerned, He has always cared about what mankind wears. But not only has He cared from the beginning and under the law, but He cares today. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this, "In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." There are several words in there that we will look at in more detail. But the attire is to be modest. It's to be worn with propriety and moderation. And it's contrasting not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness. And so the attire that women, and I will say also that men, wear, should indicate that we are people professing godliness. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, The Bible says this, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Several things we will look at a little bit later. He contrasts the outward appearance with the hidden person of the heart. And what Peter is saying is that we should be much more concerned about the inner man or woman. Let it be the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's precious in the sight of God. And he says that women who trusted in God, that's the way they adorn themselves. And so the point that we make is that God has always been concerned about the way man dresses. A second point that I want to make to try to drive home what we're talking about, and that is we are striving to please God as we dress. And we need to get that in the very forefront of our mind. We are striving to please God in everything that we do. But as we're talking about in the way that we dress, we are striving to please God. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatian brethren, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? You know, we need to think about that. We need to think about that in all that we do. We need to think about that in the way that we dress. Are we trying to win the approval of human beings? Or are we trying to win the approval of God? And you know, as a Christian, that answer should come automatically. We're trying to please God. We're trying to win His approval. Or am I trying to please people? And here is kind of the conclusion of that. Paul says, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And what he's saying is, I am a servant of Christ. And as a servant of Christ, He is the one I'm trying to please. I'm trying to win His approval, not the approval of others, but God's approval, because I serve Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, as Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, he says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Now, the idea of how they were to walk, their manner of life, the way they lived their life, was in an effort to please God. And that's what our efforts should be. Everything that we do, we are thinking, is God pleased with this? Which says I have to know what God wants. The only way I can know what God wants is right here. Here is how He communicates with us today through His Word, through His Son, in the writings of the New Testament. Am I pleasing God? Let me just say this. This is an obvious statement. Jesus Christ always pleased God. Always. Beginning in John chapter 8. Here's what Jesus says, beginning in verse 24. He's talking to His disciples. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Talking to some of the Jews. Verse 25, then they said to Him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Jesus is saying, I am speaking the things that God has given me to speak. They didn't understand that. Verse 28. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. You know, we need to make sure we have that truth in our mind. Over and over again, Jesus talks about the fact that when he came to this earth, he didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Father. What he spoke was what God told him to speak. He spoke the words of God, which is truth, he says there in John 17, verse 17. Here he says, I always do those things that please him. If Christ, and he did, always do the things that please God, what should our goal be? Obviously, our goal is to do the things that please God. Always do the things that please God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. We know that Christ is our example. We know that He left His example, and we are to follow in His steps. As He always pleased God, our goal is to strive to always please God. And so the point is, we are striving to please God as we dress. I want to say a few things along this line as to who we're not trying to please. Because I think here is where we begin to have a problem of being conformed to this world, of being like the world. First of all, we're not trying to please ourselves. Ultimately, it's not about what I like or what I don't like. That's just not what it is about. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and Matthew and Luke also uses this, or they describe this same situation. Mark 8, verse 34 says, when he, that is Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny self and take up his cross and follow me. We're familiar with that. As a matter of fact, in the back class about a quarter ago, we just studied a little booklet that I thought was very, very rich in learning how to deny ourselves. But as Jesus, and here he is, he's talking to his disciples, and he's talking to others who are with him, and what he tells them is this, if you're going to come after me, you'll have to deny yourself. Now, what does that mean? My thinking, it really doesn't matter what my thinking is. It means more than that, but I'm just simply saying, we deny self. We take up our cross. We follow Him. And so, as I'm thinking about the way that I dress, the most important thing is not what I may like or what pleases me. Secondly, it's not what pleases our friends. I dare say that probably most people dress the way they dress because others dress that way. Now, I want to hasten to say this. That doesn't necessarily make it wrong. Nor does it make it right. And do you see the connection to Romans 12 verse 2 when Paul is saying, don't be conformed to this world? With our children, with our grandchildren, we have to teach them this concept. First of all, we have to teach ourselves this. That we don't dress the way we dress because that is the fashionable thing to do. Now again, I'm not saying that everything that's fashionable is sinful. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that is not the guide to how we dress ourselves. I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, where Paul says, do not be deceived, evil. Some translations say bad company corrupts good habits. You know, I read that, and I was reading it in connection to this. I think, well, you know, we don't have evil friends. We don't have bad friends. Define that word evil. You look up that word evil, that word bad. I'm going to tell you what the idea behind it is. Those who don't adhere to God's teaching. Anything that is different from what God's Word teaches is evil. It's sinful. And we made some comments in the class this morning out in the auditorium that things in general, as they're advertised, and especially when it comes to clothing, there is the sexual appeal that is made. That's what is being promoted. That's what is being pushed. It has been practically all my life. And it's just becoming more brash and more brash and more brash. And so, when we think about our friends, and I'm not saying that we should just not have any association with people that are of the world. I'm not saying that. We need to understand that people of the world, their thinking is not like God's people. And if we're not careful, we can become so conformed to the world that our thinking is not like God's Word teaches. It's like the world. We're not striving to please ourselves, our friends, or our family. I have known and I have experienced, because of convictions of the way people choose to dress in trying to please God, family members scoffing at others, making fun of, not understanding. That shouldn't surprise us, but I'm just saying, our goal is not to please our family. Our goal is not to please our coach or the team. I could start and probably talk for too long about the influence of coaches and teams. There are some good influences, and I want to say that. And I appreciate that. But there are some bad influences too. And we're talking about dress. Just because the coach says this is what the team is going to wear, if it's not appropriate, we should not wear it. Matter of fact, we just simply state we will not wear that. Somebody says, well, what if you can't be on the team if you wear that? Well, if those are the two options, then we don't wear that and we're not on the team. If we're trying to please God. Now, I will tell you that every instance that I am aware of where someone said, I cannot wear that because it's inappropriate, there has always been modifications made so that that person could wear something that they thought was modest. Well, you sure will stick out? Yeah, you'll stick out. Well, I don't want my children being made fun of. I don't want my children being made fun of either. But I'm more concerned about them pleasing God than in pleasing the coach or the team. Do you see how if we're not careful, we can be pressured into conforming to this world? The world doesn't decide for us what is right and what is wrong as far as our dress is concerned. And that is how determination is made as to what most people wear. And I can assure us that those who are the typical designers and fashion moguls, they are not concerned about what God pleases. Now, again, you may find someone who is. I'm not just making a blanket statement, but I'm saying for the most part. The fashion designers of this world, their least concern is, does this please God? And if we were in a Bible class, don't anybody answer. I would say, what do you think their first concern is? It's this right here. It's selling and making money. Let me just remind us of what John writes in 1 John chapter 2 concerning the world. Now, the world in this context is where we live. People in the world around us who are not concerned, first and foremost, about pleasing God. In verse 15, John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. Why, John? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, really, we just need to stop right there and let that sink in. John says, if I love the world, I don't have the love of God in me. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, and these are some things we're going to be talking about, Lord willing, in the future. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And much of advertising is done to appeal to the lust of the flesh, to the lust of the eyes, and even to the pride of life. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. And so we're not trying to please ourselves. We're not trying to please our friends. We're not trying to please our family. We're not trying to please the coach or team. We're not trying to please the world. And I wanted to be sure to put this one in here. Your goal is not to try to please the preacher. And I'm not saying what I'm saying so that you can try to dress to please me. You won't stand before me and give an account, just like I won't stand before you. But we all will stand before God. And God has always cared about how man dresses. He does today. And we should be striving to please God as we dress. I'm going to stop right there. But I'm going to give us a preview. Probably it'll be next Sunday morning. I want to start talking to those of us who are men. And one reason I want to do that is this. I think sometimes we just simply, and I've been guilty of this, I'll mention what women, and I'll say, you know, men too. I want to start with us. And I want us to see some responsibilities that we have in the way we dress, in the way that we think. And then we'll look at responsibilities that women have. And I'm not sure that we'll get through what I'm preparing next week or not. But here are the 2 points that I want us to take away this morning. And that is, God cares now like He always has cared about what mankind wears. And the second point is that in our efforts to dress, we are striving to please God. And that's totally different from the way the world around us looks at things. I appreciate your kind attention, your listening, and Lord willing, we'll continue with this study next week. Let's each of us ask ourselves this question as we're about to sing the song. Are we striving to please God in all that we do? And to whatever degree I am not, I need to repent of that. I need to ask and seek forgiveness, and I need to determine that in all that I do, I am going to please God. That's what Christ did. That's what I need to do. And with God's help, I can do that. Are you a child of God? Have you rendered obedience to the gospel? Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians, talks about those who did not know God, those who had not obeyed the gospel of Christ. God will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those. If you don't know what the gospel is, if you don't know what it means to obey the gospel is the good news that Christ has come to be our Savior. He gave His life so that we can be forgiven. He has given us commands for us to follow that would enable us to be forgiven of our sins, to have our sins remitted, which in turn, as we do that, the Lord adds us to His church. And the church is made up of those who are saved. Jesus taught His disciples in Mark chapter 6, verse 16, as He told them to go into the world and to preach the gospel. He says in verse 16, "He that believes," that is, has faith in God, "and is baptized, shall be saved." In Acts chapter 2, we see in verse 38 that Peter instructed those people to repent, that is, turn from their sins, and be baptized for the remission of their sins. They were teaching exactly what Jesus had instructed them to teach. And in that same chapter, as you continue reading, the Bible says that they who gladly received His word were baptized. There wasn't any fuss. There wasn't any argument as to, are you sure baptism is for the remission of sins? Peter said, you repent and you be baptized for the remission of your sins. And about 3,000 gladly received His word and were baptized. And it says at the end of that chapter that the Lord added to His church daily such as those who were being saved. Have you done that? That's what the Bible tells us to do. That's what we do to please God. And then we're to live faithfully before Him. When we sin, we repent of that sin, we pray for forgiveness. James chapter 5. And God is faithful to forgive us. Let's determine that ultimately our life is about pleasing God. Do you need to respond? We encourage you to do that.